5 tools to escape the pity party trap. In the last article, I wrote about pity parties or extreme self-pity. If you haven't read it, I'll leave the link below. In this article, I promise to write about how to overcome unhealthy levels of self-pity, as well as how to deal with others who hold regular pity parties. However, as I began to write, I decided that it would be better to separate the two so as not to make this article overly long. Therefore, next week, I'll discuss the latter. Now, before I get into the content of this week's post, I just want to clarify something from last week. I did think that I clearly described the difference between unhealthy, severe pity parties and generally feeling sad, upset, angry about a particular situation. However, some readers were apparently offended. I just knew that had happened, which is why I hesitated to write on this topic in the first place. They said that they felt that I was attacking people while they were down. That was not, nor would it ever be my intention. So for clarification, here's a recap of what I mean by a pity party or severe self-pity. What is a pity party? A pity party is a term used to describe a situation where someone indulges in self-pity or feelings of victimization. It's a metaphorical event where someone feels sorry for themselves and dwell on their problems without taking action to solve them. People may throw pity parties for various reasons, such as feeling overwhelmed by challenges, experiencing rejection or failure, or dealing with personal loss. It's a common human experience to feel down and discouraged at times, but when this feeling becomes chronic or prolonged, it can lead to a negative spiral of self-doubt and hopelessness. When someone throws a pity party, they may engage in negative self-talk and ruminate on their problems. They may also isolate themselves from others or seek out sympathy. Pity parties can be emotionally draining for the person experiencing them and for those around them. While it's normal to feel sad or upset from time to time, wallowing in self-pity is not a healthy or productive way to deal with difficult situations. It can lead to a sense of helplessness and even worsen the problem. Instead, it's important to take action to address the problem and find positive solutions. 5 useful tools. Nothing will change unless you do. The quote that I use frequently that sums this up is, always do what you've always done, always get what you've always got. Following are some of my favourite tools for overcoming not only self-pity, but for helping you deal with almost any difficult situation. Number 1, acknowledge your emotions. Journaling. It's okay to feel sad, angry, or frustrated. Acknowledge these emotions and allow yourself to feel them. Things often feel much bigger when they're stuck in our heads, and we often can neither see the bigger picture or extricate ourselves from the problem. Journaling, writing down your thoughts and emotions, is clinically proven to have beneficial effects. It helps you process things in a way that simply isn't possible without either talking aloud or physically writing, not typing. Here are some good journal prompts for acknowledging your emotions. What is happening? What thoughts am I having? What emotions am I experiencing? When have I come across a similar situation previously? It's highly likely that you will have gone through something comparable in the past. How did the previous situation conclude or resolve? Number 2, reframe your thinking. As I've written about previously, our brains are designed to seek out potential threats. It's what's kept humans alive as a species for so long. However, if you're continually in a negative state, your brain will be on constant high alert. Research shows we can perceive a neutral, non-threatening event and situation, even neutral faces, as potential threats when we're in survival mode. Use reframing to analyze your negative thoughts and actively choose more positive ones. To do that, instead of focusing on everything that's going wrong, focus on what's going well in your life. It's another great journal prompt. Consider all the different ways you could view the problem. Get curious about your motivations and if other people are involved. Think about what's happening with them too. Remember to reflect on the potential subconscious gain you may be getting from your current behavior, as I outlined in the previous article. Incidentally, I am definitely not advocating positive thinking in quotation marks here, as that rarely works. Your negative subconscious brain will not easily take on board new positive ways of thinking without evidence. Number three, take responsibility. Playing the blame game or feeling sorry for yourself rarely plays dividends. Taking responsibility, however, empowers you to be able to make changes necessary to resolve things and hopefully avoid it happening again in the future. I know how tough it can be to realize that you've likely contributed to your undesirable situation and that you're probably the only one who can resolve it. It's important to note that we tend to attract the same type of negative people and situations repeatedly until we learn the lesson that they are sent to teach us. Number four, create a plan, take action. When you're in a negative state, the emotional part of the brain, the amygdala, takes over. Therefore, it's important to get the critical thinking, problem-solving part, the prefrontal cortex, back online. To do this, again, sit down with a piece of paper or your journal. Write down all the actions you could take to solve the problem. Let them flow, no matter how outlandish or impossible they may seem. Avoid editing at this point. Once you have your list, go back through it and decide on one action you're committed to taking. Doesn't even have to be a big one. Take that action immediately, which communicates to your subconscious that you're serious about finding a solution. If that action doesn't work, try another, and so on. You may find that just the process of thinking differently and taking action powerfully propels you forward and gets you out of learned helplessness. Number five, share with a trusted other. Ask a friend, colleague, family member for their opinion and guidance. However, please be careful with this one. Before you share or even overshare, ask yourself these questions. Am I seeking validation that I'm right, even when I know deep down that I may be wrong? Do I just want attention? Do I want someone to make me feel better, but I don't intend to do anything about the situation? If they give me advice, am I willing to consider it? Will this person keep my confidence? Also, be aware that your negativity will impact the other person. So if you are going to speak to someone else, be mindful of what's going on in their lives and their current situation. Often people will share without a thought for what the other person may be going through. If you genuinely wish to seek advice and guidance from others, remember that people will typically view your problem through their lens. Therefore, their thoughts and their recommendations may not be suitable for you. Be careful seeking advice from family. For some families, like mine, continual problems and the chaos they cause is the only way they know how to connect. They maintain close connections through turmoil. Therefore, if you know that your family operates in this way, it may be better to speak to somebody outside the family. For example, a coach or therapist who has no skin in the game will usually have a more balanced view and help you process what's going on, as well as helping you create a workable plan. Finally, will the tools I've discussed stop bad things from happening? Heck no. However, they will allow you to use the critical thinking part of your brain to find solutions rather than being hijacked by your emotions. Lastly, and this is a toughie, but it's true, no one is coming to save you. Be the hero of your own story. What's next? If you think this article will be helpful to others, please consider forwarding it. It takes seconds and assists me in getting my free content in front of more people. Plus, you never know who you may be helping by this small act of kindness. If you've never considered coaching or would like to hear more about my unique approach, please contact me at jo@jobanks.net for a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. Finally, if you haven't subscribed to receive my weekly newsletter, which contains my latest articles, news, and special offers, click the newsletter tab above. As a thank you, you'll receive free access to my 30-page mini course on how to hack your happy hormones. As always, thank you for your continued support.